You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio for this Wednesday. Good morning if you're just joining us. Okay, some of your comments before we take the bingo numbers. Where can we see this map? It's up on our website, but if you search rail review and hit images, it should pop up for you on Google. How naive, says another listener, can you be? This is long finger nonsense. How many hours from Dublin to Donegal via port or down? Pure nonsense is that person's assessment of it all. The Green Party are a joke. They open their mouths to speak and it costs the hardworking people of this country by taxing them in a climate where it's hard to make ends meet, never mind the environment. Lol, what a load of bull. It'll never happen. We can't even get a bridge. Well, that bridge is supposed to be starting in 27, is it? Hi, Greg. Great show as always. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Just a quick note. Travelling from Clonmany to Buncrana, I noticed that the grass on the verge has been cut both sides. What a waste of money. The grass stops at the tarmac and just grows up. There isn't even a footpath. What will they be wasting money on next? I don't know exactly where you're talking about, but some of the narrow roads that I would and many listening would travel on, it's good to see the grass cut back a little bit or the hedges cut back a little bit because people tend not to want to scrape their nice new cars and you end up having to reverse a kilometre. So I personally, on some roads, I don't mind it. There is an algorithm in place now, says this caller with ticket sales, where the more demand there is for tickets, the higher the price goes. And this is across the board with artists who are receiving reduced income from album sales due to online streaming services. One of the first to take the approach was Bruce Springsteen and fans were up in arms over it. Now other artists are following suit. Greg, in tears this morning, listening to John McAteer describing the scene in Fannad last night. Deepest sympathy to Sinead and all Greg's family, indeed. And I just listened to John myself. The way in which he painted that tragic picture was incredibly sad, but incredibly touching too at the same time. Right. Let me see. More comments here before we move on. Okay, this is an interesting one. Meant to mention this yesterday. I do not agree with Councillor Jack Murray and his proposal to have a Christmas craft fair in Swan Park, Buncrana. No way. Plenty of other locations. Thank you. I don't know. What do you think? It seems on the face of it like a lovely idea because people travel to Galway or Belfast or into Derry. And there are other places, but I just can't think of them to go to Christmas fairs. Now, personally, I was down in Galway for one because my arm was twisted too. And I walked around, there was a lot of expensive food, a few bits of knickknacks, and people selling phone charger cables and cases and stuff tat like that. Well, it's not tat, but you know what I mean. So if you're going to do it, I'd love to see it done in a really traditional way. Is Swan Park the right place? Is Buncrana the right place? Is it the right time? I don't know. What do you think? I didn't see the response to it. I don't know what the general response to it is. I can't see any negatives in it. Unless it impacts on other commercial activities. But anyway, what do you think? Christmas craft fair in Swan Park, Buncrana. I think if it's traditional and I think if it's authentic, it will do really, really well. The commercialization, and as I say, anything being sold at the one I was at in Galway, excuse me, wouldn't do much for me. Caller says, I believe I got my card skimmed last week while taking money from an ATM belonging to the bank. I know this because it's the only time I physically put the card into a machine to do a withdrawal. They have taken €1,500 out of my account. Last night at 6:30, I got a text from the bank to sanction a payment to Iceland. They took €600 on a debit enforcement agency to pay a debt, €600 to the Cornwall Council to pay a parking ticket and a spend on Iceland. I've reported this to the Guardian. The bank, I just want to warn the people, not all text messages from the bank should be ignored. Had I not got this message, I never would have known it had happened. But did you have a link in the text? You see, we don't say ever to ignore text messages or any communications from any organisation. It's when it clicks, there's a link in there, a URL. That's where the issues are. So there's two things. A, I'm really sorry that you've lost this money. B, where was the ATM, just out of interest, so we can look at it a little bit further, just generally. And C, was there a link in the text? Because I think that's useful information to get out to the public as well. Did they have a link that you followed? Please, if you could text back, your last three digits, 090. Greg, I was in a shop in Letterkenny over the weekend. I went to purchase two bottles of bleach, which stated clearly in bold writing on the bottle that it cost €1.19. When I got home, I realised I was charged €1.39 for each bottle. I know it's only 20 cents, but with the times we are living in, every penny counts. When I went back into the shop, the lady at the till told me that they have to scan what comes up on the till and they don't go by the shelf price. Surely this is false advertisement. It is, of course, false advertisement. You picked up that product and entered into a quasi-contract at £1.19 a bottle. What they decided to charge you at the till is besides the point. At least the person should have said, oh, by the way, this is 20 cent extra than what's on the shelf. So I think you were done wrong there. I'd go back. And again, I suppose it's the principle of it. But if they sell 1,000 bottles of bleach with an extra 20 cent above what's the marked price, especially if you were doing a biggish shop, there's a lot of money there, isn't it? It's not right. It's not fair. And did they refund you, by the way? I'd ask to speak to a manager on that just as a point of principle. Hi, Greg. I work in a legit call centre and it's so difficult. We need 6-digit sort codes, an 8-digit account, and that information is safe. Makes our job so difficult. So is that, in other words, when you ring someone, is that to access their account? Is that what you're saying? And just explain a bit more how that makes it difficult. I'd be really interested. And I'm sure our listeners might be as well. Hi, Greg. Do you know if there's any update on the water situation in Inishowen, specifically the boil water notice? Can't find anything online since the announcement was made and haven't heard anything on the radio today. Well, you see, it's really difficult. I think there's been a further update to that, Caroline. Is that today's update, 8-8, on the boil notice? Is that today's or yesterday's? All right, so we'll just double check to see if there's an update today so as not to. I believe they've identified the problem, but it'll take a while for those 9,000 customers to be able to drink their water without boiling it. You see, the problem we have too, from our perspective, there's loads of other places you can get news, of course, but lots of you listen every morning and we try and keep you across everything, right? So that you don't feel you have to tune out. But we put a call in as soon as we got notification of that problem, which was on Monday morning, I believe it was, and we got an automated or a response by email yesterday afternoon. It took 36 hours to get the response to say that contact Irish Water, Ishk Aaron. So we're trying our best, but sometimes we're frustrated by the system. I'd just like to add a point in relation to the LGBTQ plus being taught in schools. I would argue it may be even more important for the children of parents who oppose this to be taught the subject in school, because these children in particular may have no other adults in their lives they can talk to about it if they believe they might be LGBTQ plus. Teaching children that gay people or trans people exist in the world does not turn them gay or transgender. And of course it does not. And that's why it's so important to have the conversation out loud, you see. And that's why I've been advocating, because it sounds like I'm a harpy horse, I'm not. But for information, proper information, factual information to be given to parents. Hello, Greg. Great show. Dr. Joe yesterday was 100% right in what he said. As for Sinead, she stated her point, but with Sinead, her point is always right. No one else's opinion is. I don't think that's a fair assessment of her contribution, but I take your point. Ireland stopped putting children first since 2018. I presume that's a reference to the referendum. Good morning, Greg. What democracy are you talking about? We live in a constitutional republic, not a democracy. You may let your guests know that. The Greek fires are now thought to be arson, so you can stop the fear-mongering. Just like the hottest July on record, totally fake. They took ground temperature readings, not air temps. Readings just like COVID were being led false truths. Why, though? Why? And of course, you always take ground temperatures. You don't. That's why you get into your car and your car says it's 32 degrees and then you look at your app on your phone and it says it's 23 degrees. There is a specific way of measuring temperatures in the shade as opposed to under your bonnet in direct sunlight. There is a procedure. That's why some of the temperatures that are being talked about at Farren, so to speak, are the weather forecast will say it's 25 degrees, but someone will say I'm baking here in 39 degrees. It's the way temperatures are measured. But look at, I mean, it's up to you whether you believe the science or not. All right, okay, let us take a quick break. We welcome onto the program now Senator Joe O'Reilly. Good morning, Senator. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning to you. Can you hear me good?
Great. I can hear you and see you loud and clear. Okay, so you were a visitor to our part of the world, Donegal, last week at the Gaeltacht in Glencolumbkill to brush up on your Irish, your Gaeilge. Whilst having time to reflect, or perhaps you thought of this before, you want to see the language improve all the time, your own language, but also that people have better access to the Gaeltacht. Talk to me about it.
Yes, absolutely, Greg, and it's an absolute pleasure to join you this morning. Yes, I had a lovely week in Glencullum Kill. It's a very beautiful part of Ireland. The Aegis Gael, which is effectively a Gaelic for adults, is a hugely successful event, running right through the summer into, I think, almost all year, and in various online forums. But it was a wonderful experience. I know Donegal very well. I'm a veteran goer to Bundoran as a child, down the right through to adult life, and still, and to Ardrath. I know very well as well. I know all of Donegal, but and I should as a neighbour. But to get to the point, as you say, Greg, I have raised this in the past, and it was brought home to me even more last week when I was in the Gaeltacht in Donegal, that the only way, one of the major ways, rather, that you will restore the Irish language, that you will develop a love of the Irish language, a love of our heritage, our culture, is to, in some way, coax children to go to the Gaeltacht. And my own love of the Irish language, of our culture, of our heritage, developed from going to beautiful Breedo or Boone Beg, a town called Carrickett Taskin, with a family called Rorty's, many, many, an embarrassingly long number of years ago. And as a youngster, as a teenager from secondary school. And I found it was from then that I developed that affection for the language and the culture. So I think we need to have the maximum number of people from right around the country go there. So what I'm proposing is that we develop a pilot scheme, because we have to see how it works in practice. I'm going to get some research done, and truthfully, I don't have it to hand, Greg, on costings here. But what I'm suggesting is that we grant aid. Now, we do grant aid the Banerjees, and I believe that difficult to find. They're getting progressively more difficult to find, as you will know from your own work, Greg. But we do grant aid them. They, of course, must be supported to provide reasonably cheap, accessible accommodation for the youngsters, and that's important. But I think we're going to have to directly grant aid the young people to come to the Gaeltacht and to achieve a spread. What you tend to have at the moment going in a tendency is towards upper middle class children. And we need that to widen out. We need that to widen out. Working class children to people who are
people of all income backgrounds, you know, regardless of what class they might be put into, people of all income backgrounds. So in other words, that young people have equal access, that everybody's treated fairly. So you are convinced that this would, this would light a spark. This would, it did for you.
I'm absolutely convinced of this, Greg, and your listeners, in that I believe if we did this, these young people would become ambassadors for the language, for the culture in their communities. You'd find them establishing conversational groups, going to Caelia, going to traditional singing sessions, etc., using radio and a Gaeltacht, maybe using listening to folk music, whatever. It would get them in there and they'd become ambassadors. Mm. And out of that would arise a greater interest. And there's a whole lot of reasons why that's good for them as individuals, for communities, for our tourism product, for our whole identity thing. So, yes, I believe it's the way to go. Why do I say a pilot program? We'd have to see its workings out.
But you see, Senator, I think you're actually onto something. It's really quite interesting, easy to test, because you fund 300 spaces or 400 spaces, and then you see what kind of demand is there.
Yeah, precisely, Greg. You fund 300 spaces initially, maybe, for a once-off test, and you do it in a defined geographical area, incorporating all social classes, etc., as you said earlier. And then you see how that works out, how it attracts, what's unattractive about it, why it brings people, those who don't go, what is their difficulty with it. And then you do an analysis of that and you widen it out. And it's not, without having exact figures to hand, but I will be having our library and research services. We have an excellent service in Leinster House. I'll be requesting them to take a further look at this. And I'm going to lobby the ministers, the relevant ministers, and I'm raising it again in the autumn in the Senate. And I'll reference my interview with you, Greg, then. But
Goramai Higgins.
Johnny Mission. But to go back to the point, it's not a huge budgetary issue in terms of money. One can imagine we're not talking big money here, and thank God we're in a good budgetary situation. Now, that's not today's discussion, but we are. And surely an investment in our young people, an investment in our culture and our heritage and our language is a good one. And there's more to it than that. I remember talking to a career guidance teacher at home about this one day, and my own children had gone to the Gaeltacht, and I was just telling him conversationally. And he said to me, there's much more to this than they're going, they're learning Irish. They develop a whole new perspective on the world, a freedom from being away from home, an independence. They meet a diversity of people, and they become more aspirational for themselves, because they're meeting an aspirational, competitive type of young person in the main, and that has implications. So
yeah, and I think that's also reflected too. We see that in transition year, and we see how that can greatly benefit children for a lot of the same reason you've just outlined. And I presume you'll enjoy the support of people like your party colleague-ish, Joe McHugh, because he went to the same college that you attended and very quickly became fluent once again in Irish. So you could be pushing an open door.
Absolutely, I would expect that. And he's an extraordinary success story in that he went to Inchiscale and he seemed to pick up the language. Only obviously it was latent and he had a level of it, but he really became absolutely fluent in, you could almost say, overnight. And this kind of thing can happen. Some people, like him and others, have a capacity to learn languages, an ear for languages, as they say. And children like that will even benefit beyond the norm, Greg. So it's a win-win on every level. In fact, you know, we talk about some of the issues that arise with young people and their mental health and all that. It will deal with that as well. It deals with a myriad of issues. And it could even create a better health consciousness, which saves money. If you were to take it in its totality and look at it over a lifetime and over a number of years, it's something that could be cost neutral, really.
Okay, well, we'll see how it develops in the autumn. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Senator. I do appreciate it.
Appreciate talking to you. And
take
thanks
care.
For your...
That's no great. Problem, no problem. It's important. Senator Joe O'Reilly of Fine Gael there, talking of making it more accessible for young people, particularly to go to the Gaeltacht. Hi, Greg. Just off the phone to Air, I had my bill paid. I thought my bill was €51.99 per month, but Air has put it up to €58.99 because of inflation. I'm on a 2-year contract. I didn't know that they could do this. Anybody else have this problem? And they call Air a choice name, which I can't repeat for fear of litigation. You think when you're in a contract, you think you've got a fixed price, don't you? But apparently, mid-contract, according to this listener, mid-contract, their bill has gone up from £51.99 to £58.99. Not good. Good morning. I think driving tests shouldn't have reverse around a corner. I believe that this should be changed and it should be focused on reversing into a car parking space, which would be much more beneficial as that is what a person would do the most rather than reverse around a corner. Yeah, makes sense. Maybe you could even have it set up at the test centre and do that before people drive off. It depends where you're parking, though. My word, there's some areas around Donegal that the parking spaces are tight, aren't they? I mean, you park properly within the lines and your two neighbours have as well. And you're doing like a limbo dance to get out of the vehicle for fear of cracking your door off their car. There are some really tight parking spaces. Where are the tightest? I think I have a fair idea where they are. I'm all right at reversing. Do you know what, though? The cameras and the beeping does ruin you. It destroys you. And I don't think actually if you're doing your driving test, you're supposed to reference the camera. I'm open to correction. I don't think you are if you have it in your car. But anyway, yep, it makes an awful lot of sense. Some might say that reversing around the corner serves the same purpose. But I think having a space set at the test centre that people reverse into, get it out of the road early on, would make an awful lot of sense, wouldn't it? Okay, thank you very much for that contribution. There's a couple of people contacted me on social media to mention a couple of things. Let me see if I can grab it straight away or if I'll have to dig it out because the messenger can be really quite busy. So, yep, indeed. I'm going to have to wade through a few messages and dig that out. A couple of events coming up at the weekend. I'll try and mention them before the end of the show. Right, we'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show very shortly, talking about something which I think is really good. It's a uniform pop-up shop. We're at that time of the year now whereby it is a worry. So when people are sort of wondering, well, we get a couple of good days in autumn, people are already looking towards the cost of school trousers, especially if you've got multiple children, a shirt, a jumper that has to have a particular crest on it. Where can you get those crests? You can't. You can only get the jumpers in one shop. Shoes, they'll need new shoes. They insist on black shoes, but then you need runners for PE, so you have to get a new set of runners because their shoes they've shot up over the summer and their shoes are hanging out the front of the runners that they have. Maybe the school bag then needs replaced, and then you have to start looking towards books and everything else. It's an incredibly expensive and worrying time of the year where people are having to make some decisions on where to spend their money. They want the best for their children. But anyway, and I'm not sure where it would work or if it would work everywhere, but we're going to be talking after the break about a new school uniform swap shop, which I think is wonderful. Anything that helps people worry less and take the pressure off, I'm all for. So we're going to be talking about that. And maybe, hey, if it's not too late, maybe they could pop up elsewhere. Stay where you are. Okay, and we are back. And we're joined on the programme now by Councillor Gary Doherty. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Greg.
You are there indeed. Good morning. And also Nolene Killeen, St. Vincent de Paul Branch President. Hiya, Nolene.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us. I might start with you, if that's okay. Can you put it into perspective for some how difficult this time of the year can be as the September or the end of August, as it can be, edges ever closer and you're having to put one, two, three, four children back into school? What kind of pressures can it create?
Well, it's always a difficult time and a stressful time for families at this time of year, Greg, getting children back to school. And I suppose particularly this year, you know, with the cost of living, everything's got so expensive. And that's why that's where this idea stemmed from, really. You know, we're just thinking of families and the added burden of going back to school, the cost of uniforms, books, and all that's involved in getting children back to school and getting them kitted out again. So that's where this idea for the swap shop stemmed from.
Right. It's the Castlefin Uniform Swap Shop. It's a pop-up shop. How does it work?
Well, it's in Castlefin, but I suppose it's not solely for Castlefin uniforms. You know, what we are doing, we're asking people from all the schools, preschools, secondary schools in the area to donate a uniform that their child is finished with, whether they've grown out of it or whether they've moved on to a different school for whatever reason. Most families will have uniforms that are just no longer any good to them. And we're asking them to donate them to us, and we will display them then in the hall on Sunday, the 30th of July. And they'll be available for families to take home with them free of charge.
Well, I think it's fantastic, because I think any of us that have put children through school, if there's no one to hand it down to or whatever, you know, by the end of the year, you can end up with particularly, I think, jumpers with particular crests or what have you in really good condition. And what else do you do with them? So this is a fantastic opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is it. I'm sure there's a whole lot of houses where there's uniforms lying, that there's just, as you say, they're no good to anybody for one reason or another. But we are taking them in if they're, you know, if they're presentable and wearable for somebody else, then what we will do, we'll display them and the different schools and different sizes. And as I say, people will be free to come and take them. So we're appealing for support, you know, for families to donate the uniforms as well as, you know, we need the support of the community to leave the uniforms on test on the day. We're asking them really to leave them in advance. We'll have, at the minute, we're currently taking donations in the St. Vincent de Paul shop, and we will sort them out then. We'll have the hall opened in Castlefin on Saturday from 2 to 4, and people can drop on uniforms then, and there'll be a team of us there then to sort them out into sizes and schools and as best we can, you know, to try to get them into some kind of order to make it easy for people on the day to come and take them.
For sure. Nolene Killeen, stay with us. St. Vincent de Paul Branch President. This idea came from Nolene and Councillor Gary Doherty. And as I say, you know, hopefully, Gary, and I presume this is the motivation behind all this, that this will take a bit of pressure off families who are struggling to sort of pay all life's bills and then these incidental things that pop up, such as, you know, back to school.
Yeah, look, I think at the moment, Greg, I think it's well known that everybody's at the pin of their collar with the cost of living crisis, and that's impacting everybody right across the world, I suppose. But the summertime, it's always an expensive time for parents anyway, with back to school costs. We know that the uniform costs are always there, and then you have the cost of school books and runners. They don't want to be going to school, and you know, basic runners, they want the designer brands and all that sort of thing. So you know, parents are always under pressure, regardless of what's happening outside the home with cost of living crisis making things even worse. But hopefully this is something that that can be used by the community to ease that burden a wee bit. And you know, as Nolan said, we are relying on people. It'll only work if people are donating uniform items, and then, you know, people turn up on the day to take home items that they do need.
Yeah, and I think it's important too that people who might benefit from this don't see any stigma to it. This is us as a community all working together to help ourselves. There's a green element to this. Why struggle to buy another jumper if you can use a perfectly good jumper? Do you know what I mean? So I don't think anyone should go, oh, well, I don't want to be seen doing that, and I hope they wouldn't. There's many reasons. Now, I remember back in the day, particularly some women would boast that, you know, I got this dress for 500 euro, look how fantastic it is. And now it's like, I got this dress for 2 euro from the local charity shop, how fabulous it is. Do you know what I mean? So we're doing good in reusing or items of clothing, Gary. So as I say, I hope no one listening that might benefit from this might go, well, I don't want to go there, because it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the stigmas that we want to break a wee bit, that there's absolutely no shame in this whatsoever. This is a community event where everybody's coming together. And look, the reality is everybody has these uniform items that they don't need anymore. Every child grows, and we know every child grows at a rate that the uniforms maybe sometimes don't even last for the full school term. So you might have bought a jumper maybe in January after the Christmas break, that the child had a wee growth spurt, and the jumper or the pair of trousers or whatever, they no longer fit the child. Or indeed, if a child's in sixth class and they're moving to secondary school, or they were in fifth or sixth year last year and they've moved on to college or university or further education or wherever, those are uniforms that are just sitting at the house. They're no longer of any benefit to that family, but they're in perfect wearable condition.
Okay.
So that's the whole idea behind it, yeah.
Right, so we'll walk through it. I'm going to speak to you about how people donate, and then I'm going to speak to Nolan again, and Nolan can remind us about when it's open and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, this is in the Castlefin area. Presumably people in that area will know which schools we're talking about here. I mean, listen, with the best will in the world, there's no point me dropping up an Abbey Vocational School jumper because there's probably not someone that's going to be in there looking for it. I'm not discouraging anyone from doing that, but presumably, ideally, in terms of anything with a crest on at least, then it you'd want it to be local. Can you give us an idea of is it a catch-all, Gary, of what kind of stuff that you'll be looking for?
Well, we've had messages into the Facebook page asking about, you know, can people donate these uniforms? And to be honest, Greg, the answer that we're giving to everybody is we're yes. accepting everything.
Yes, yes,
if
yes.
If you want to donate it, we'll accept it. And then that's basically how it'll work in the day. Now, we do realise that, you know, as you say, people aren't going to travel maybe large distances, but we've got a lot of uniforms in already from schools from Lifford, Castlefin, Killigordon, Stranorder, Drumkeen, Glenfin, all that
Brilliant.
Sort of
that's
area.
That's exactly Ravaux, the information Conway. I wanted, yeah. So all yeah, around exactly. those areas, okay. School and jumpers, is it trousers, shirts? What's before we get to the important thing?
So it's jumpers, shirts, trousers, all that.
Skirts,
and then obviously some schools they've got their day-to-day uniform, and then they've got a PE uniform as well. So we're taking all items. Just the only thing we're asking is that it's still wearable. So if it's not wearable, obviously it's no use.
Yeah. That's the important thing Is that the important thing you were going to mention, or is there something else important as well?
No, the other thing is just that some people may be under the impression just that you would bring along your school items on
the day,
Sunday on the day. But in order for us just to sort things out into school and size, we are asking people, if they can, to leave things into the thrift shop in Castlefin before Sunday. And then we've also got St. Mary's Halls open on Saturday from 2 to 4. accepting donations. So that would just make things a wee bit easier.
Well, it has to be check condition, check sizes, organise that, put them on the right railings, put them in with the right stuff. That makes sense. Okay. Right, so Nolene, then, how does the swap shop work? Well, it's been called a swap shop, and maybe that's a little bit misleading because people think they're bringing something to swap it for something else. But anyway, I understand why someone might use that phrase. So then talk to us about when, where and when and how people can go then and see if they can find outfits for their young ones.
Right. Well, suppose the swap shop, people will get confused about that, all right. Ideally, what we're asking for is donations of the uniforms, as you say, Greg. And then on the day, people on Sunday, the hall will be open from 12 to 3. Sunday, the 30th of July, the hall will be open from 12 to 3. And people will be just encouraged to come in. At that stage, we'll have the uniforms all sorted out onto their size and the school and that. And you talked there about the stigma, you know, attached to it or whatever, that people might be reluctant to come. This is, as Gary said, a community event. And we're turning it into a social event as well, because there will be refreshments there, tea, coffee, juice and that for the kids. And we'll also have local talent providing a bit of music on the day. So it's a fun day as well as, you know, the serious part of taking a uniform or whatever. Like, so another big thing, I suppose, we are dependent on volunteers. So we're looking for people to come and help us on the day if at all possible, if they're free for a few hours on Sunday to come in, or Saturday evening while we're sorting out the clothes, they'd be very welcome to come and help us.
Yeah, of course, as I say, that lends it to the community element of it. A caller says, we did the same with uniforms in Kilmacrenan. Then we offered the leftover uniforms, which were in good condition, to St Vincent de Paul. They refused them as they'd brought new uniforms for people. I don't know anything about that. Presumably, if you feel that people are offering uniforms generally across the offices that will be benefit other people in the local community, you're hardly going to refuse them.
Well, definitely not. We wouldn't. Well, we'll not refuse them at this time now anyway, but in our thrift shop in Castlefan, we always would have had school uniforms, you know, that people would have had donated before. And in fact, if we have uniforms left over after Sunday, they will be donated back to the shop, the thrift shop in Castlefan, the St. Vincent de Paul thrift shop.
Okay, so
the Monday again. So
the pop-up shop is a one-day event. It's on Sunday, July 30th. Just remind us where it is.
It's in St Mary's Hall in Castlefan, the main street in Castlefan, from 12 to 3 on Sunday, the 30th of July.
Okay, great stuff, Nolene. Thank you very much for that. And just to remind people, Gary, if they have, just go now and have a look. And do you know what? It saves them having to find a different way of disposing it. Go and have a look if you've any jumpers, shirts, skirts, even shoes, actually, that could be in good nick. I don't know if you're looking for those, but, you know, you mentioned earlier on how quickly the feet can grow. Who's to say anything can be considered? Remind us one more time where it can be dropped off and when.
Yeah, so anytime today, tomorrow and Friday into the thrift shop in Castlefan, or on Saturday between 2 and 4 in St Mary's Hall, Castlefan. And then obviously you can bring them on the day between 12 and 3 on Sunday. What we would ask that people would leave them in before that.
All right, thanks very much indeed. That is Councillor Gary Doherty and also Nolene Killeen, who is St Vincent de Paul branch president. I hope it's a huge success, and I just hope that it eases stress for some people out there. It's so tough, you know, will you be really forgiven for not realising, if it doesn't affect you, how difficult it is at times for people. Oshin says, in relation to the Christmas market, great idea. Open space is ideal. Used to be one at Ned's Point Fort, mainly local craft fair. He believes that due to insurance costs and safety, it ceased. I'm not quite sure of that. Anything is better than the current status quo that's being Buncrana area with the second biggest town but playing third fiddle. No schools extensions, though some are in the offing. No leisure centre, work's ongoing on that, but I take your point. No play parks, no inner relief road, no outer relief road. Ballybuffet area, well ahead. Only saving grace is we have a more compact town than Letterkenny for now. Greg, I'm also with there. Last year I signed a 2-year contract for €50 a month. They've put my bill up twice since and I'm now paying €78 a month. So once my contract is up, never again will I sign up with AIR. Mary, don't wait till your contract's up. They've breached the contract. Get out of that. If it's gone up now, I presume you can exit out of that. Listen, you can get, depending where you want to go, you can get broadband for €35. You can get broadband, Sky and Netflix for €50. You know, there are offers all over the place. You can get broadband for $34.99. Don't be paying €78 a month. Now, it might be complicated if you want to retain the landline and stuff, but shop around. Don't wait till your contract's up, because every month it's another £40 that you could be buying a treating yourself with, Mary. If they've put it up twice within the contract, there's no contract. I would strongly dispute that contract, and I would not sit around for it to expose. There's loads and loads of deals out there, dependent on if you want TV or if you don't want TV, you just want standalone broadband. And listen, I know there's tech people out there that are going to disagree with me. You don't have to be paying for massive amounts of broadband capacity unless you need it. You know, for your average household, there are packages there with you know, no content ratio fibre that you will do very well on. I have one item that can get anywhere close to a 1 gig download. One item, it's a PlayStation 5. Everything else, my phone, whatever, all maxes out at 250 or some stuff at 100. Your Fire Stick, I think it maxes out even lower than that. So, well, maybe it goes up to 160, 170. But anyway, as I say, I don't want to upset anyone technical out there who says I'm speaking wrong. But all I'm saying is shop around, see what you actually need, get what you actually need. I'm not taking custom away from anyone, but you don't, no point paying for something you don't fully need. So check it all out. But Mary, get onto Air, get out of that contract, switch. It's easier now than it ever was. And maybe other people will be switching from their supplier back to Air. Do you know what I mean? I'm not having to go at Air. Air do some really good deals as well for new customers or for switchers. So it depends what you want. I presume you've got a TV package with them as well, though. Hi, Greg. What I'm saying is every company is excellent. And I've been with them all. I'm actually with Air currently at the moment. No, did I switch? I think I'm with... So in other words, I'm not criticising any company, but you can move around after each contract to get better value. Leave Air, go back to Air. You know, leave Vodafone, go back to Vodafone. Hi, Greg. Would need to get Letterkenny sorted first. Complete disaster. Was in and around 3 p.m. on Saturday past. The traffic back up to the Clannery Hotel. Got to the Polestar roundabout and out the road again in Derry for the shopping. Thanks. Oh, okay. Wonder what kind of impact the traffic lights might have. Donegal County Council is wasting money hand over fist. They need to clean the road gullies instead of cutting grass and blocking these gullies. That's a really interesting point, actually. Air has put up their prices seriously this year. At the minute, I'm searching for another supplier. Any suggestions? There are websites that do all that work for you. People talk about prices. I used to buy a cake treat to myself on a Friday. It used to be €1.10. Then it went to €1.50. This week, it was €1.65. That's all within a year. But again, you look at every product that goes into a cake, the prices are up and up and up and up. But my middle fella is tight. He is as tight as they come. And he'll not buy anything for himself now, you know, sweets and stuff, crisps like that there, because he goes, it was last year, it was half the price of this. All before his time. All right, Michael joins us now. Hiya, Michael.
Hello, how are you, Greg?
Good to chat to you. Right, okay, your reaction to this announcement from government about this strategic rail review, and that maybe, we don't know when or how, we might even have rail access into the northwest, i.e. Donegal, by 2050. What's your view in it all?
Yes, I just think it's going to end up like the national road network. And that, by that, I mean, when the economy is going good, the south of the country will get upgrades to their rail network, just like they got motorways. Then, when the economy is going bad, the northwest of the country will not get a rail network, just like we never got our motorway connection.
So in other words, when things are tight, the first projects to get cut are the ones proposed for the northwest. Is that what your feeling is?
That's exactly it, Greg.
And you would say history proves that?
Yes.
Well, this is why a lot of people, and I mean, listen, I'd back it because I'm from here, positive discrimination for the northwest. Start here first.
That's right.
All right, okay. Well, listen, fair warning. We'll see, Michael. You may be proven right. Thank you for your time today. I do appreciate you coming on the 9 till noon show, 086 60 25,000. Hi, Greg. I hope you share a few minutes of your time to read this out. Concerning Primetime Investigates on Monday night, the 10th of July, it was horrific what those poor little calves went through, only a few weeks or months old, being taken away from their mothers and treated in such a barbaric way. If them farmers cannot do it in a more humane way, then they should not be doing it at all, farming that is. This has been going on for years with nothing being done. Why can't the guards be called into these marts? It's monstrous what's going on. The same should be done to them. Bob Barrick, there's no other words for it. It needs to be stopped immediately. That came in by way of a letter from a listener, and you feel free to write in if you wish to as well. 9 till noon show, Matt and Top Letter Kenny should get us. Let's see how much time I have to read this. Okay. Morning, Greg. Just listening to your show on the 20th of July, and I can't help but feel sorry for anyone that has to wait on the health service in this country, as it will ultimately cost lives if it hasn't already. I was diagnosed with breast cancer not too long ago. When I originally went to my GP, he referred me to the breast clinic in Letterkenny. 3 months on from my GP appointment, I followed up to see where the referral had gotten to, and I was informed that it was a non-priority, as it was a male under a certain age and a low risk. I was told I'd be seen the following year. Around 7 to 8 months later, obviously concerned with this timeline, I requested to go privately. Luckily enough, I have private medical cover. Within 3 weeks, I had an appointment for Galway, and within a week of my appointment in Galway, my worst nightmare was confirmed, and I did indeed have breast cancer. Everything happened pretty quickly hereafter. I had an operation within 2 weeks of being diagnosed, as there were concerns with the type of cancer that I had. 6 weeks after the operation, I was getting chemotherapy. I was almost finished chemo by the time of the initial proposed assessment through the public health system. My point is, why should we have to rely on private medical care to be seen when we need immediate medical care? Many families won't have the privilege of having private medical care, and the sad reality is, if they're waiting on the public health system, then it has to have an impact on people's diagnosis and treatment success. I may have been lucky to get cancer at my age, but I feel sorry. I may have been unlucky to have gotten cancer at my age, but I feel very lucky that I was able to get the treatment I needed quickly. Who knows what the outcome would have been if I had to wait on the public health system. My heart goes out to anyone who's reliant on this broken system. So that's an interesting story there, particularly because it's a male, and talking of breast cancer, you don't hear that too often. Denise joins us on line one now. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Greg.
How are you keeping?
I am good, yeah.
Yeah, but you are, and by coincidence, it's another medical issue, and you're looking for advice or help, really, aren't you? What is the situation with you, Denise?
Yes, well, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer in November 22. I had my first surgery in October, and I was diagnosed then in November, and I was told the first surgery that I had was a thyroid lobectomy, so it was to remove half the thyroid, and got the results then in November and was told that I had to go for further surgery to remove, to get the full thyroidectomy done. Mm-hmm. And they also said I had it in my lymph nodes. So I had to get a neck dissection done in my second surgery, as well as the thyroidectomy. I had the second surgery done in January. And then I...
That was to get lymph nodes... Was that to get lymph nodes removed, or is that a further operation?
So I had the thyroidectomy done and the neck dissection to get lymph nodes removed. I had 30 lymph nodes removed, and half of them were cancerous. Wow. And then I was referred to an endocrinologist on the 31st of January and heard nothing. I heard nothing from anybody until April. So I had an appointment then to see the endocrinologist at the end of April, and I drove 4 hours to my appointment to be sitting waiting for 3 hours and then to be seen for 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. And there was no physical examination. I got bloods done, but my bloods were normal, but my bloods have been normal from the start. Mm-hmm. And then I was informed I was cured. I was told in my first surgery, from the results from my first surgery, that I needed to get radioactive iodine. It's a treatment for thyroid cancer. So I am told now that I have to wait till October, which is a year from my first surgery.
Yes.
That I will be receiving radioactive iodine.
Denise, could I hold you just for a minute to till I take the news headlines and come back to you? Would you be able to stay there just for a minute?
Yes, no bother. Okay.